You're listening to media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. We are a multi-generational, Jesus-centered community of scripture, faith, and grace located in Tallahassee, Florida, on the campus of Florida State University. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. We hope that the next few moments are a time when God speaks into your life by the power of His Holy Spirit about His Son, Jesus Christ. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Together with Jesus. We are going to be starting off on a new gospel today. We're going to be starting off in the Gospel of Luke. And so we're going to be reading Luke 1 and 2 out of the English Standard Version. That's the ESV. Here we go. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now while he was serving as priest before God when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time for service was ended, he went to his home. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." In the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. In those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country, to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child. And they would have called him Zechariah after his father, but his mother answered, No, he shall be called John. And they said to her, None of your relatives is called by this name. And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, His name is John. And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came upon all their neighbors, and all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, What then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham to grant us that we, being delivered out from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and in righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them at the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from the time she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Thanks for sticking around, everybody. This is the part of the podcast where we talk about the reading that we just read. So we're getting into the Gospel of Luke. We're getting into the first two chapters here. And since this is going live right around July, you get a little bit of Christmas in July. This is typically the reading that we read around Christmas, partially because Luke has the fullest story of Christmas. He has this big Christmas narrative, which not even Matthew has. Mark just completely goes over it. And John, when we finally get to John does this kind of spiritual thing where he says, okay, well, this is really what the birth of Jesus meant, rather than all of the historical things. And so, as we jump in, we first of all get this dedication. And so Luke gives us a little bit of an understanding of who he's writing this to and why he's writing it. So we know in the dedication here, he's writing this to somebody who's called Most Excellent Theophilus. Now, we don't really know who Theophilus is. Theophilus means God lover, and so that could actually mean that this is sort of being written to anybody who loves God, sort of like writing, Dear Reader. And from that, then, you know, this might be to anybody who loves God and wants to know the story of Jesus because of that. But this could also be to somebody in particular, specifically because it says Most Excellent Theophilus. That's maybe an honorary that is given to somebody, and this is somebody that Luke actually knows, even possibly somebody who is a patron for Luke and is possibly paying for this. Some people have actually wondered if Luke is writing this in order to send something along with Paul, because we know that at the end of Acts, Paul is stuck in Rome. He's waiting his trial there. And so some people think that that's maybe what Luke is doing here. He's writing this orderly account in order to sort of present it as Exhibit A. Whichever, Luke himself tells us that his goal is to give us an orderly account of the things that have been said about Jesus. And so basically what Luke is doing here is he's taking all of the bits and pieces of knowledge that people have, and he's bringing them all together in one volume from which people can feel like they're getting some reliable information about who Jesus is, and from that being able to say, okay, this is really what I can trust about Jesus. So Luke is written approximately 10 to 15 years after Matthew writes. So it goes Mark, Matthew, Luke. And so Luke is definitely, he's sort of late to the game. And because he's late to the game, he's got this, you know, there are some stories that are going around about Jesus. And some of them are maybe a little bit legendary. Some of them are maybe, you know, like kind of fish stories. They've been expanded upon when they don't need to be. So Luke is really trying to give us something that's solid here that we can say, okay, I know that Luke went about the process of researching this, and so this is going to be trustworthy. So as a good historian, Luke actually starts off before the story. And that's kind of a just, you know, just a way that good histories usually go. They kind of give you just a little bit of context beforehand. And so the context that we get is we get the story of John the Baptist being born. And it's an interesting thing as we go through chapters 1 and 2. It's kind of like camera 1 and camera 2. You've got camera 1 that is on John and John's birth and the foretelling of John's birth and those kind of things. And then you've got camera 2 that's on Jesus and Mary and Jesus' birth and all of those things. And it's kind of like there's this constant switching between the two cameras. There's this, okay, this is what happened with John. Now we're going to switch to Jesus. Okay, now this is back to John, now back to Jesus. And we're going to see that happen a few different times in what Luke is doing here. That's part of how he's crafting his gospel. And so he gives us the foretelling of John the Baptist being born. Now, John the Baptist is like Jesus in some ways because John the Baptist has this kind of miraculous birth story. There's an old woman, an old man. They're both from a priestly tribe, from the tribe of Levi and then from the tribe of Aaron. Both of his parents have that kind of heritage and that kind of place in Israel's history. And so, and then on top of that, where you get this foretelling happening is in the temple itself. And so you really have this kind of sense that the temple itself is this holy place, this place where God's own work happens. And because it's where God's own work happens, it's this kind of beautiful story that Zechariah goes into the temple. As he goes into the temple, he sees an angel, and while he sees the angel tells him what's going to happen. He happens to not really believe it, or maybe question it a little bit too much, and because of that, the angel says, well, you're going to be struck dumb, you're not going to be able to talk, and because of that, he goes out and he has to, you know, use his hands in order to describe what an angel looks like, or what was told to him, and so you have this kind of moment of revelation, but then you also have this moment that follows it of kind of extreme confusion that's happening. But in the midst of that, you have this good news that's coming, and so you have a knowledge that, okay, well, this is something that people have been waiting for. This is something that Zechariah and Elizabeth have been waiting for their entire lives. But you've also got this sense that this is something that the people of Israel have been waiting for. They've been waiting for somebody to come in and to be this Elijah figure, to prefigure to go before the Messiah and to show that he's coming. And so there's that amazing moment where you have this happening, and it's right there in the temple. Well, so that was camera one, and now we're going to switch right over to camera two. Camera two gets us with Mary and the angel. And so the same angel, the angel Gabriel, shows up to Mary and basically gives an announcement that's very much like the announcement that was given to Zechariah, although here it's almost a little bit more unbelievable, because here Mary is a virgin, and she doesn't know how she's going to have the kid, and yet she says, let it be done to me according to your word, and because of that, we know that, okay, well, this is going to be a great child as well. In fact, the angel says that is exactly the case, that this is going to be a child that is the son of the Most High, that is going to have the throne of David forever. It's all of this really amazing stuff that the angel Gabriel tells to Mary. And so we've had camera one and camera two, and now Luke brings us together. So he brings together the two women. So he has Mary visit Elizabeth. He records this happening, and at this moment, you see this kind of amazing, beautiful thing where the two women come together, and Mary gives this greeting to Elizabeth, and the baby in her belly leaps for joy. And that in itself is already fulfilling a prophecy that was given by the angel. The angel tells Zechariah that he will have the Holy Spirit even before he's born, and that seems to be what's causing him to jump in Elizabeth's womb. You know, kind of like a baby kicking is most likely what's happening here. And so she can tell what's happening, and the two of them are together, and then Mary sings this sort of prophetic song. And this is something that if you look through the Old Testament, you see women that sing these prophetic songs. So you have, you know, women like Deborah, and women like Miriam, Moses' sister, and they're women that sing these songs that are prophetic in nature, and they kind of give us a sense of what God is doing, how God's grace is being worked out. And so after you have that moment, you have them come together, but then they split apart. And as they split apart, as Mary goes off on her way, Luke brings us back to camera one, with, you know, John the Baptist and his family. And so here Luke records John being born. And the big thing about John being born is that he's born, and then they say, well, what should we name him? And the expected answer is sort of Zechariah Jr. That would have been most normal. And they're about ready to sign that on the dotted line. And his mother, Elizabeth, says, no, that's not his name. His name is John. And you can kind of feel the tension in the room as people kind of look at one another. And, you know, John is not something that anybody in your family has been called. This is very unusual. And they look to Zechariah. And Zechariah, interestingly, it never tells us that he's deaf, but they're still making signs to him instead of speaking to him, it seems. But he actually says, you know, give me a tablet to write on. And he writes specifically, his name is John. And as he does that, his tongue is loosed and he is able to speak again, and he's able to give thanks to God. And as he gives thanks to God, then Zechariah then sings another kind of prophetic song, sort of like the Magnificat. So again, you have this camera one, camera two thing going on, where you have, oh, Mary sang a song, and now Zechariah is singing a song. And you have these things that are there that you show the interplay, but you also show how great Jesus is in comparison to John, who himself is very great as well. And so Luke is showing us all of this in order to show us how great Jesus really is and how great his birth is. And so after John gets born, camera two again, we go to the Christmas reading. This is the reading that you're probably used to. Every Christmas Eve or every Christmas day, you get Jesus's birth in Bethlehem, and you have all of these details that are filled there. You know, we just got done with the gospel according to Mark, and Mark just, you know, he kind of skips over so much of the details in order to get us to the place where he wants us to be, which is at the cross. Luke is the exact opposite. Luke loves to stop and take his time and give us some details that maybe you kind of even wonder, well, why do I need that detail? Why do I need to know that this happened around the census and, you know, when Quirinius was governor of Syria and all of those things? So that's going to be a part of what this gospel is like, that this gospel is really going to show us all of the detail that comes through in Jesus's story. And so Jesus is born. We kind of know that story. So I'm going to do a Mark thing. I'm going to kind of skip over it a little bit and get straight to Jesus being presented in the temple. So this here then is another sort of confirmation about who Jesus is. So John's story starts off in the temple. Jesus's story, at least the story of his birth and its infancy, ends at the temple. And so you've got this sense that, okay, Jesus's parents, they're going to the temple and they're just doing what is normally done. So anytime you would have a firstborn son, you would go to the temple, you would make this sacrifice because it was required. We find out that Joseph and Mary are probably not of a lot of means at the time, because Luke specifically says that they offer two turtle doves or two young pigeons, and that was an allowance that was given in the law for people that couldn't sacrifice a lamb. And initially the idea was that you would sacrifice a lamb if you were able to, but they weren't able to. And so Joseph and Mary, they give this sort of poor person's offering in order to fulfill the law. And as they're showing up in the temple, you have not just one prophet, but two prophets that say, oh, this is a big deal. So first of all, you have Simeon, who has been waiting for this moment for his entire life, it seems. And he takes the baby in his arms and he sings what we might call the Nunc Dimittis or Simeon's song, where he sings, Lord, now I can depart in peace. I've seen what you have promised, that this child is going to be the salvation of all people. This is going to be the salvation that you've shown in the presence of all of God's people, a light to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. It's just this amazing moment. And to top that, as if that wasn't good enough, you have Anna as well, this sort of, you know, strange figure who is, you know, she has a lot of mystery about her. In some ways, I kind of wonder about Anna. You know, was Anna a respected member, or was she kind of like, you know, the lady that you weren't quite sure about at church? You know, she was really into God, and she was very much into prayer at the temple. She would do that all the time, and she would fast all the time. And, you know, there's kind of that question that comes up, because, you know, back when you had Jesus being born in a manger and his first visitors were lowly shepherds, I kind of wonder if, all right, well, maybe Anna is, you know, sort of like the neighborhood lady that you wouldn't necessarily trust to, you know, look after your kid, but she's close enough to God that she even gets mentioned in Luke's gospel. It would be a neat way to think about that at the very least. And so after that, Luke has the couple, they return to Nazareth. Now, knowing what Matthew wrote, basically what Luke is doing is he's completely skipping over their trip to Egypt after this moment, probably because it doesn't fit what Luke wants to show. And so he just has them sort of, he says, oh, they go to Nazareth kind of by way of Egypt, and there he grows up. And after that, you get this moment where Luke shows us a little bit of the childhood of Jesus. Now, none of the other gospel writers do this. The most that we get out of Matthew is the appearance of the wise men, the magi, when they come and they visit the Christ child. And Jesus was probably about 2 years old at that time. But here, you've got Jesus all the way up until he was about 12. And there's this really kind of interesting foreshadowing moment here where you have Joseph and Mary, they go to the Passover, and it tells us that they go every year as good Jews should, and it sort of turns out that that's probably meaningful for Jesus. He probably used to always going to the Passover, that's something that he just grew up with. And then in addition to that, you have this moment where Jesus kind of hangs back a little bit at the temple. And he hangs back, and Mary and Joseph, they keep on going to Nazareth because they think that, you know, he's just kind of in his cousin's caravan or someplace. And as they're going, they find out, oh, man, Jesus isn't here. And they're looking around for him. And there's this really interesting moment where Jesus is lost for 3 days. So you've got Mary going through this moment that Simeon has prophesied about, that there's going to be a sword that pierces her soul. And that moment is being foreshadowed here, where you have this moment where Jesus is gone for 3 days, just like he was gone for 3 days in the tomb. Here he's gone for 3 days and they don't know where he is. And yet they find him, and here they find him in his father's house. And in a lot of ways, there's a lot of connection there with what Jesus was doing when he was raised from the dead. And so Luke is crafting this really beautiful picture of who Jesus is. He's taking his time. He's giving us a lot of details, and it's going to be a really great gospel for us to get into. And so thank you so much for being a part of this with us. We are looking forward to reading through the rest of Luke's chapters with you, and we are looking forward to hearing what you have to say about that. So have a great week. Keep on reading the gospels, and we'll catch you again next week. God bless. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to this media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. If you would like to financially support more media from University Lutheran, please visit our website and click the Give Now button, which will enable you to engage in the Christian discipline of giving tithes and offerings to God through His church. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.